You might not recognize Ryan Tedder's name, but his work, that should ring a bell. There was this 2007 mega hit with his band One Republic. It went platinum. It's too late to apologize. It's too late. Then there's this little number he co-wrote and co-produced with Beyoncé. Maybe you've heard of Adele, whom some of us slavishly adore. Ryan Tedder wrote this with her. Now rumor has it she ain't got your love anymore. Rumor has it is poised to become one of the biggest hits this summer. But is it possible Ryan Tedder's Apologize, that first song we heard, set a record as number one most played song in top 40 radio history? Ryan Tedder joins us, and so let's ask, Ryan, most played song, more than the Beatles?
It's tough to say. I mean, you have to factor in that there are far more radio stations now than there were back then. I'm sure in the grand scheme of history, the Beatles have had songs that have probably outplayed everything.
Well, and I guess it was 10,000, you know, plays in 1 week, something like that, when you were number one with Apologize. But just talk for a second about how that felt. When did you know, and how did you know that it was a hit?
Well, it's really strange. I mean, I've been writing songs since I was essentially, I guess, 15, and writing them to music since I was probably 17 or 18. When I wrote Apologize, I wrote it in, I was living in Colorado Springs at the time. I had come up with the idea of starting a band. I'd been signed and dropped as a solo artist already and was, you know, I was like, you know what? I can't do the solo thing. I'm not Justin Timberlake. I don't even want to attempt it. I want to be in a band. Let's start a band. So I called my old high school buddy and I said, I got this song that I just started and I've never written a hit in my life, but man, I swear this feels like it could be the biggest song ever. But it's kind of absurd when you're sitting in your dad's house in Colorado Springs, which is as far as you could get from Hollywood or whatever, and you're convincing yourself that the song you just wrote sounds like a hit song.
Well, and how so? I mean, was your heart racing, you know, hair on the back of your neck?
Yeah.
How do you...
The only thing I knew was how hit songs, and I hate using the word hit because not every quote-unquote hit song affects people, right, emotionally. I'm not like the guy... You know, I produce, I write, I've done it. I have a number of dance songs and up-tempos that I've done, but that's not my forte. You know, the thing that I can connect with is emotion. And so if the hair on the back of my neck or, you know, my arms is standing up and I can tell that everyone else in the room is having the same effect, that's kind of my gauge. You tell me that you need me, then you go and cut me down. We have a song out right now called Good Life, and that is one of those songs, probably the first one I've done since Apologize, that you just feel this emotion kind of well up in you and you can't put your finger on what it is.
The song Good Life for Ryan Tedder. And, you know, enough about you, Ryan Tedder. Let's talk about Adele. Just kidding.
Yeah.
You know, but we love her. And we referenced the song Rumor Has It that you wrote with her. Mm-hmm. And we understand you also wrote Turning Tables with Adele.
Yeah.
Let's just listen to a little bit first.
Close enough to start a war. All that I have is on the floor.
Now, how did this happen?
She's a huge pop fan. So she worships Leona Lewis. Bleeding Love was the biggest song in UK history. You cut me open and I keep bleeding, keep bleeding,
love. I keep bleeding, I keep bleeding. Well, and you wrote Bleeding Love by British singer Leona Lewis, co-wrote and produced it. In fact, that was the... That was the song that broke your previous record with Apologize for most radio plays in a single week. But go ahead.
Shortly after Bleeding Love, maybe a year later, Halo came out, Beyonce, and that was the biggest song that year in the UK. And so I kind of became, for big-voiced female singers, I kind of became the guy that they were trying to write with. So,
get Ryan Tedder.
Yeah, so I ran into her in a hotel the night before the Grammys, or the night after she won her Grammys, actually. We were staying at the same hotel. And I was like, Adele. And she was like, you're Ryan Tedder. I was like, yes, I am. And we got in the same elevator, and she was holding like 25 balloons. It was the most bizarre thing. So we get in this elevator crammed full of balloons with me and her trying to have a conversation amidst all the balloons. And she said, I'm about to start writing for my new album. You were the first person that I wanted to co-write with. And when we first sat down to write in London, I had spent 5-6 hours trying to come up with something and was drawing a blank. And then right, like 30 minutes before she walked in, I had this idea for Turning Tables. I started playing this piano thing. And when she walked in, I said, I have this crazy, weird idea for this lyric, turning the tables. Like in a relationship, when you get in an argument and the person always turns the table on you. Like, let's say you're upset because of this, and somehow by the end of the argument, they flipped it on you. And you're like, wait a minute, how am I now the bad guy here? I was pissed off at you, and you just turned the table on me. And unbeknownst to me, she had just gotten out of an incredibly tumultuous, that now the whole world knows about, relationship. Right. That became the inspiration for the whole album. So then she said, this couldn't be a better lyric for what I'm going through right now. This is exactly what happened between me and my ex-boyfriend, whom I still love, but we're totally disastrous and screw him and blah, 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 blah. And so, yeah, it turned into Turning Tables, and she actually got him but cried after we finished the song. I mean, I was back in the hotel room, and she sent me an email, and she said, I'm sitting in my apartment in London, and I'm crying listening to this song on repeat.
So I won't let you close enough to hurt me. No, I won't ask you. You to just desert me. I can't give you all you think you gave me. It's time to say goodbye to turning tables.
That's Turning Tables by Adele and our guest Ryan Tedder. It's from one of the biggest albums of this summer, Adele's 21. We're going to have more with hitmaker Ryan Tedder, but you know, let's just have a taste of the other big songs this summer. Welcome back. That's All the Right Moves by OneRepublic off their latest CD, Waking Up. We're speaking with OneRepublic's Ryan Tedder, who also writes for American Idol contestants like Kelly Clarkson, top artists like Beyonce, and our favorite, Adele. But Ryan Tedder, a little more about you, truly. You were born in Tulsa, Oklahoma. As you've said, the buckle of the Bible Belt. You are a Christian. You met one of your bandmates at the Colorado Christian School. You went to Oral Roberts University. What happened to that trajectory? Why not, you know, the next step would seem to be, and now, famous Christian singer-songwriter, Ryan Tedder. What happened there?
Shout to the Lord, all the, you know, the thing... I love Tulsa, and I loved going to ORU. It was a fantastic experience. Some of the best people I've ever met. The school has kind of an interesting reputation.
We hear sort of what you're saying, that you have sort of a love of this school, but also an acknowledgement of what? I mean, what are you acknowledging
it's
about
this
school?
It's an acknowledgement of it is a, from my experience, one of the most, you know, charismatic Christian universities. I think that when I was there, there is this... It could be self-imposed. I would say a little bit is environmental. Whenever you grow up going to church 3 days a week and you end up at a Christian university, you feel the self-imposed, like, I should go into youth ministry. Maybe I should go into worship. My aunt and uncles are worship pastors. I have missionaries all throughout my family. And for me to be a sophomore or junior and say, you know what, I actually want to go into mainstream music, which, as they call it in the Christian world, secular music. I remember the first time I used the word secular, I was in Nashville at a record label at DreamWorks Records, and I told the person I was working for at the label, I said, yeah, you know, my friends thought it was a little risky or odd that I was going into secular music. And she goes, she looked at me, she goes, what? What's secular music? I was like, oh, I'm sorry, you don't speak Christianese. I did love going to ORU, but I will say that it's there was a lot of getting out some guilt dealing with going into mainstream music and moving to Los Angeles, which is the den of the lions as far as you're concerned. When you're coming from Tulsa, Oklahoma, L.A. is about the weirdest place on earth.
But why not go, especially with your love of the school, which some people have been critical of for thinking about homosexuals. I mean, you know, you pick it with some of the controversial things.
Pick the topic.
Right. So you know, since you loved it, why not go Christian music?
I grew up listening to Michael W. Smith. I loved Michael W. Smith. Still do. Stephen Curtis Chapman, DC Talk, all these big, huge, iconic Christian acts, and I still love them. It was a personal choice for me. I was more inspired. I read a book called The Spiritual Journey of U2 and found out where they came from. And that they were actually, Bono went to the same church, the same Assembly of God, the same denomination that I grew up in, where it's, you know, speaking in tongues and, you know, casting exorcisms, all kinds of stuff. And come to find out, you know, if you go through every lyric of every U2 song ever, 99.999% of the time, he's actually singing about God or his faith or his spirituality. And almost without exception, from Vertigo to Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For, Streets Have No Name, on and on and on and on. And I thought, what an amazing, like, here's the, not only a successful, but the biggest act in the world. And he's representing what he believes, but he's doing it in a different way. My thought is, don't preach to the choir. There's enough people preaching to the choir. It's like, if you have a message you want to get out, if you want to represent what you believe, get out in the masses. Get down where it's dirty. And, you know, as St. Francis of Assisi said, you know, go throughout the world and preach the gospel, comma, use words if necessary. Hmm. And that's my belief, which is just, you know, you can represent what you believe. You don't have to be preaching to the choir. The thought of touring churches just didn't excite me.
Well, and how's that going over in this world that you are in, this rarefied air that you are in? I mean, do you sit around with Timbaland, you know, the producer, and sort of chat about St. Francis of Assisi, or does it not come up?
No, it's funny. Speaking of Timbaland, he's actually raised in a very, very devout Baptist. You'd be amazed how many artists were raised in the church. It's unbelievable. Katy Perry. I knew Katy Perry when she was Katie Hudson.
Stop.
Back in Nashville.
With her little outfits?
Her little outfits when she was blonde little Katie Hudson, and she was signed to a Christian deal and was doing, she put out a, you can still find it. She put out a Christian gospel, like a gospel album. Her parents are both like evangelical ministers. And Timbaland, it's funny. I mean, he actually told me one time, we were talking a couple years ago. He's like, yeah, I just got off the phone with Katy Perry yesterday. This is back before her most recent album. I told her to stop wearing all them short dresses. She doesn't need to be wearing short dresses and making out with everybody. I was like, wait, you told Katy Perry that? He's like, yeah, man. He's like, I know she comes from the church. And because he was raised in a Baptist church too. So it's all pervasive. It's like I said, I mean, it's an interesting dichotomy, definitely, to go from that world to the world of like music and movies and red carpets and all that stuff.
Right. Well, here you are. You're at sort of a certain pinnacle, and you're turning around and helping other people come up. And I'm referring to the American Idol finalists that you've worked with. Mm-hmm. What do you say to them?
Shut up and sing the song. No, I'm just kidding. I don't. It's funny. I had a huge disdain for American Idol when it started, because it was the polar opposite of everything that I went through. I crashed on couches, you know, was chased by creditors for years, absolutely bankrupt, broke, and was paying to play shows up and down the Sunset Strip for years.
You paid them.
Banning it, you know, yeah. And all that stuff that kind of, that makes you into an artist, that tests your resolve. How bad do you want it? And the fact that American Idol came around and one day you're waiting tables at Chili's and the next day you're the most famous person in the world and people are throwing money at you, the whole idea just made me kind of sick. But then I just started, I got off my high horse and I was like, you know what? they're actually turning out some talent. I mean, my God, Kelly Clarkson, one of the greatest voices I've ever worked with. And so I just tell them, you know what, I just want to write the kind of song or produce the kind of song that shows the best part of what they are as an artist. I try to figure out with every artist I work at, what is it that really they're best at, and how can I put a magnifying glass up to that? Selfishly, when I write with people, other artists, I'm writing the songs that I want to hear. I'm not going to name names, but if I didn't really like their last album, then selfishly, I'm like, I'll get in a room with them to write the kind of song where I'm like, you know what, if I have to hear you every day on my local radio station, I want it to be a song that I actually like. I didn't want us to burn out. I didn't come here to hurt you. Now I can't stop.
Who do you see out there that you haven't worked with yet that you'd like to? It's got to be a small field, but who would you like to write for?
Paul McCartney is a lifetime goal. I want to write a song with him. I don't care if it's the most crap song in the history of songs. I don't think we're going to sit down and write, you know, Yesterday Part 2. I just want to sit down and record and write a song with the guy. Bono, I mean, he'd be up there too. You know. Why not? Throw him into the room.
Why not? That's singer and songwriter Ryan Tedder. Paul, if you're listening. He's written songs for so many artists, including Beyonce and Adele, his own band One Republic. Their latest CD is Waking Up. Ryan, thanks for speaking with us, and best to you.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.